Sunday.
And she's staying
through the end.
Okay. Edie? I wonder what kind of things you're interested in. So that's first I'm going to ask you what you'd like to do. What would you like to learn or do or get from the time you have? We'll start with you.
I'd like to continue with the discussions of passion and perception.
Peace. I'm open as long as it's harmonious.
As long as what?
Harmonious. Anything then.
Just along for the ride and see what happens.
Okay.
The stuff about the Dhyani Buddhas, the senses,
the senses, yeah. An idea. Lisa?
I was thinking about looking at the work that I've been doing over the last couple of weeks, stuff that you and I talked on the phone a little more deeply through the next week.
Now, just refresh my memory what that was.
It was about a lot about fear and anxiety and some old childhood patterns.
Right. Okay. Aaron? Just here.
Yeah.
Mike.
Look for whatever's going on, but just looking to help deepen my practice. Help it.
To develop?
Develop my practice more so it becomes more fruitful.
Yeah, me too.
I guess I'd just like to learn to be more aware when I do go back into my regular everyday life.
Yeah.
Last
retreat
we did.
Oh, good.
So I'd just like to go a little bit further.
Yeah, another fix.
Right.
I'd like to get that interest. I asked you about in class when you hook your desire, it chases after things on the outside, to meditation interest and deepening meditation.
Okay.
To learn some various kind of meditative exercises that I could do not while I'm sitting, but like my everyday actions with my kids or when I'm cooking, because it's really hard to just sit.
Yeah. I have had, as you heard me say before, very good teachers, but it's strange how, regardless of how good the teachers were, how hard it was. Is that your skateboard?
Yes. Oh. I was going to ask permission later. I was just skateboarding in case that was my last chance. I just got into it. It's fun.
Her brother has influenced her. I think it must be a lot of fun. There were some things about meditation that I really didn't get, and even though I was given instruction, I didn't know how to apply it. So hopefully my experience is going to be useful to you. hopefully I have learned how to talk about it in a way that makes it interesting for you to try it and gives you a way to start. For me, I was very interested in where I was going to get to. And it took me a long time to understand that the process was how you get somewhere. Does that make sense to you? I just wanted to get a result. I wasn't interested in the process. That makes sense? So consequently, whenever I was sitting, I was always looking for something, rather than looking at something. It always had to be something that wasn't there in my mind. I didn't even realize that at the time. So I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this retreat, and I thought that it would be about like it is. Quite a few people could do the weekend, and some people could do the whole thing. And I thought, from that point of view, it would be interesting to start right from basics, right from the very beginning points of meditation, teaching yourself how what it is you're looking for. Does that sound of any interest to any of you? Some of you are already way beyond that. Or how many of you already know what you're looking for? Sorry?
To be free of negative mind states.
So what I'm saying is you are already free of them. Does that seem possible?
The second.
No. Yeah. But you are. You are. Everything is present right now. And we pick certain things. We pick things because of passion, because we dislike or we like. We are equally tied to what we dislike as we are to what we like. Did you know that? Isn't that just curious? Disliking something is as strong a bond as really wanting something. Isn't that just curious? Well, I'll be. So if you're sitting and there's going to be 500,983 or four, perhaps, maybe five thoughts that go through your mind. Some number. Some vast number. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Most of them just flicking by. You don't even hardly notice them. The ones you notice will be the ones that you have a strong emotional reaction to. And it is your emotional reaction that causes the tie. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Disliking negative thoughts is the way to guarantee that if there's one negative thought every 5 million, you'll see the negative thought and not see the 4,999,999 other ones. Because the mind is sensitized to that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Don't think about monkeys.
Sorry?
Don't think about monkeys.
I can't hear you. I don't know why.
Don't think about monkeys.
Don't think about monkeys. Exactly. Exactly. But we do, don't we? We do think about them. Which is why what you want to start doing is looking at how you perceive. Not trying to perceive the right things. You don't want to start by deciding you're supposed to be calm or you're supposed to be peaceful. Do you understand me? You start by trying to figure out, well, how do I perceive? If you perceive a lot of negative thoughts, then you want to know, well, how does perception work? Because then it's like you walk into the house and there's always this tape playing, Namo. Always playing. And you know when you walk in, and yes, it is. And if it isn't playing, you think you hear it anyway. Because it's going to start playing any minute. Right? Or you can learn how to turn the machine off. Because the thing that is always there is the silence in which this sound arises. Isn't it? The sound comes and goes. Doesn't it? Sometimes the radio is on a little louder than Namo, or you're talking on the phone, or you fade out on it, right? But what's always there is the space in which the sound is playing. When you're aware of the space, then you're aware that you can maneuver a bit. Does that make sense? If you just walk in and it's playing and there's nothing you can do about it, you're caught. If it's playing and you're aware it's playing in the room and therefore somewhere in the room, space, there's a way to see something else or turn it off or, you know, let it go, go into another room, then you have some options. Don't you? Well, it's the same with the inner room. Exactly the same. So the first meditations, you know, there are three, but usually two only talked about, two categories of meditation, and most of you know this. They are what? Samatha and Vipassana. See? Don't you know that? Most of you know that? You've heard that how many times? Billions? Samatha is learning about space. Vipassana is using it. Most of us are really hot to do Vipassana because it's better. We heard that somewhere. That's where you really get. But you can't do Vipassana unless you understand space. You can't. It's like not possible. You can't get what you want and let go of what you don't want until you understand space. Space is learning how to be aware of perception and not be fooled by it. Samatha meditation is watching all the rising and falling until you're no longer caught by them, basically. It can take a very long time, if you're me, or it can take a shorter time, hopefully, if you're you. So all the classes that I've been doing, I've been talking about perception and passion, right? And I've been saying that perception, the real thing to see about perception is to perceive perception. To perceive when you are perceiving something. Not to get the right perception, because there isn't a right perception. Now, I know that's a real blow to some of you. Because I know it'd be really nice just to have it, and then you could walk around and be safe forever, and it would always be their fault, right? That would be good, wouldn't it? Or something. It would be convenient, yeah. You could relax. I've got it. And so people often try for the right answer. Would you say that's true? The right answer is that perception is relative. And to really understand that, you have to understand that nothing arises without cause. Nothing arises without cause. That includes peace. So if you're interested in peace, don't argue. Don't go to war. If you're interested in greatness, don't be petty. Does that make sense? Realize every view is right. This is making sense, I hope. If given the circumstances, the present supporting circumstances are there, and the focus is aimed in the right direction, everything is possible to be seen. Was it Kashyapa? The Buddha held up a flower and Kashyapa smiled. Was that it? And that was the awakening? Nobody else did it at that room at that time. It was there for everybody. One person perceived perception. Do you understand that? It's not mystical. It's clarity. Perceive the perception. Perceive what it is you're looking for. Perceive yourself looking for something. Realize that whatever it is you see is based on causes. Realize this is a dream. Then decide what you would like to dream. How about compassion for all beings? That's a nice dream. So you can't just start there and lay that on top of what you're already doing. Does that make sense? Because all of us have these little perceptions going that we've been nurturing for a long, long time, haven't we? So first what you want to do is watch perception. So in order to do that, it's really nice to have a dull object. Now, in the Theravadin practice, your breath is pretty dull. In, out, in, out. In Tibetan practices, it's an object like this. This is how you start. With a dull object. Isn't that a nice dull object? So I think there should be one for each person here. Isn't that a nice dull object? It's actually a circle inside of four petals. But you're not going to see the circle right away. It's very dull. It's sort of interesting. It's calming. It's not too exciting. And it's dull. I can see Lisa imagining her gold pen on it already, doing a little. So, do you want to just close that door? So, given that this is the dull object, this is just a perfect dull object. Just absolutely wonderful. You put it a little more than one arm's length in front of you, not much more, and almost nose level, so no, maybe shoulder level, okay? So your head isn't really crooked to look at it, right? Neither is your head up, like your chin is pulled in a bit. You prop it up with books or something. That's why it's on card. So you can prop it up, right? And what you do is you let your mind just rest on it. And then that thing I was saying about letting your vision soften, you don't grab at it. You just let your mind rest on it, and you don't let yourself be distracted by anything else. And you just watch. And when the mind perceives something else, like sound, you just note, oh, that was hearing. And bring the mind back here. And you do this for 10 minutes. This is also different than the Theravadin practice, isn't it? You spend 10 minutes really trying to just, every time the perception goes somewhere else, just name it. thinking, you go, oh, that was thinking, come back. Feeling, oh, that was feeling, come back. Smell, oh, that was smell. Right? Just be as quickly as you can. And there's no failure. Do you understand this? This is important. There is no failure. If you only catch your mind once perceiving other than this, what you're doing is you're using this as a way to you, for you to see your own mind dance. And you're going to watch your mind dance all over the place, and then you're going to name where it's dancing and slowly train it to just train yourself to just note when perception is occurring or when emotion is occurring that's going to make a perception. Either will do. What you're calling energy is emotion. And whenever, when oh, that's a feeling. Oh, that's a feeling coming. Fear, feeling. Okay, and here. And then another one. Oh, and here. And at some point, you're going to be aware that perception itself is empty. It's focus. It's not you. Is that clear? Do you have any questions about that?
Could you just say that last perception is perfect?
Is empty. Is not you. It's clear. It's just a tool. Did I say perfect? I don't think I said perfect. It's empty. It's just a tool. It's a tool of the mind. It's how the mind grabs. It's the hand of the mind. And it would just grab. And you just say, okay, yeah, and no. Yeah, and no. You just keep letting go of whatever it grabs and come back. And just use this as a mirror to watch. So do that for 10 minutes. Can you all tolerate that? So this is different than, do you have that door opened? Or are you going in there?
I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's fine. We just closed that door to, but I didn't realize you were coming through with armloads.
Thanks.
Is there an extra one there, Joan?
Yeah.
Good. Questions? Mostly you want your eyes to be fairly relaxed. So you don't want to be staring. But you don't mind blinking a little bit, you know, you don't mind that. You don't try to do some fancy focus.
But I mean, if I relax my eyes and they start going cross-eyed.
It's fine. And then you notice and then you see whether the perception gets more drifty when you're not focusing. And the answer is yes, but I'll let you tell me.
So you said to do this for 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
After the end of 10 minutes, then...
We'll get there.
Okay.
Does this sound like you could all try it? Is this within reason? Don't do this on your skateboard. I thought it was funny too. We're both perverse, is what it is. No questions whatsoever? Yeah.
Okay. Friday night, kind of stupid. But sensing is different from perception. In what way? How is sensing?
Perception is the mind grasping. It's the mind door is one of the senses. But what I want you to do is to be able to distinguish when the mind door is working and not just get caught up in when the other five doors are giving information, and then the mind door goes.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing. We're looking specifically at perception, which is mental. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? So in order to start that, I thought we'd work with the Heart Sutra. Is that interesting to some of you? So, again, one page each. This is from this particular rendition of the Blue Flower Meditation. This one is from the Shakya College. Various people do them at various times. I've seen several. This one is from Shakya lineage. So here it says, "Thus I have heard. At one time, the Blessed One, which means the Buddha, was dwelling in Rajagriha on Masked Vulture's Mountain," which isn't a mountain, it's a little hillock or something, you know. It maybe is almost as big as the hills around Boise, but it sounds better as Masked Vulture's Mountain, is I think what happened here. Together in, what does it say? What does it say? Huh? After Masked Vulture's Mountain. You got the wrong side of the page? Together in what? Isn't that curious? Like the? What does that mean? Isn't that interesting? Or one accord? Or one energy realm? Or in one mental experience? You ever been somewhere where you felt everybody was on the same wavelength? Some teachers are really good at that, aren't they? Sit in the room and it's like you feel like you're in this bubble in some other realm or something. Huh? Together in one method. So here's the Buddha sitting there, doing whatever Buddhas do, and furthermore, doing it together in one method. Isn't that lovely? With a great assembly of monks, ordinary folk, sort of, and a great assembly of bodhisattvas. So you basically got three realms of consciousness covered here. In the first sentence, you got totality consciousness, you got the bodhisattva consciousness that understands how to work with energy and aspiration, and then you got rest of us folks who work around with the eight worldly dharmas all the time and are always collecting evidence and trading it in on better models, and you know, oh, their robes are nicer than mine, but my cushion is really good. I got it from, right? You know, that's the great assembly of monks, right? That's us, right? All caught up in the eight worldly dharmas. You know the eight worldly dharmas. You've heard me go on and on about them. Don't you? Don't you know the eight worldly dharmas, do you? Gain and loss, you know them? Hmm?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Good. Great, thank you for that answer. I was beginning to get scared there. Okay, so there's like the beings who are working in the desire realm, the monks, and the beings who are working in fine material realm, who know how to move with motivation, know how to use the winds of passion for the benefit of all beings, and the Buddha. They're all in one accord. Isn't that nice? So that's how it begins. Sometimes they start the Heart Sutra on the 1, 2, 3, 4, on the fifth paragraph, quite often, especially Chinese and Zen. That's where I used to study in Japan with a wonderful teacher who chanted the Heart Sutra. And in Japan, it always starts on that fifth paragraph. But I really like the introduction because I think that's very nice to get a sense of where this action is taking place, you know? At that time, the Blessed One was absorbed in the concentration, clearly perceiving. Concentration is with the mind clear, one-pointed, of the countless aspects of phenomena. Of the countless coming into beings and passings away. The countless chain of cause and effect of phenomena called profound illumination. Or in Tibetan terms, profound clarity. Or profound insight. The mind of knowing phenomena, clearly knowing phenomena. So that's what the Buddha is doing in one method. At that time also, superior Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva, the great being, was looking perfectly at the practice. That means his perception was absolutely clear. Do you understand that? Isn't that nice? It's possible. That's what it says. Oh, by the way, it's possible. You too can do this. Perfectly at the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom. So the Buddha is looking at clarity, and Avalokiteshvara is looking at emptiness. Wisdom is no inherent identity. That's what wisdom means. So the Buddha is looking at the dancing phenomena, this being that becomes, this being that becomes. And Avalokiteshvara is looking at the same thing in one method, but he's aware of the non-identity of it. Isn't that interesting? You don't think so? It's all right. I don't know about you guys, but I got so excited when I read this. And then there's a comma, and then it says, perfectly looking at the emptiness of inherent existence of the five aggregates also. So first he's aware of the inherent non-identity of phenomena, and then he specifically looks at form, at feeling, at perception, at mental formations, and at consciousness. So first, overall, the awareness, and then using it. So this is like basically telling you how to awaken. That's what this is telling you. You know, I was saying practice seeing clarity, and then you seal clarity with emptiness, and you seal emptiness with clarity. You know, I was saying that. You practice being able to see that perception is itself empty, right? That there is cause and effect, that God is a verb, as Buckminster Fuller said. It's one of my favorite. God is a verb. That there isn't any actual thing. Everything is in motion. Everything is process. How can you be perfect? Because it's all moving. Yeah. There is no thingness. There is just this process, this movement. Is that clear? Yeah, you all got that? I like a little nod or a what the heaven are you talking about or something, you know, like just to encourage me because it's been a long time since I was here talking to all of you, so, you know, I get a lack of confidence here. Maybe you could cheer me on by occasional responses. Is that possible?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, to perceive that... Okay, let's make it more mundane. I use this example in the classes. I have had experiences where I was in a place that was different than I had been living for a long time, and out in a public, and there are a few people around, and seeing over there somewhere somebody I knew from another place. Their back was to me, but I knew, oh, there's... And my whole body changed. I was ready. The memories, right? Who I was changed. The emotions changed, and then the person turned around, and it wasn't them. Any of you had that experience? Yeah. And then 1 minute later, you just forget it. Don't you? Most of the time. Because it's not important, but it's the most important thing to see. That when you perceive something, then that perception can change, and then you can perceive something totally different, and there's no argument. Do you see that? You ever talk to somebody, you know? No, I think that was at Safeway, wasn't it? No, 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 it was Albertsons. No, 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 because it was at the Safeway parking lot, because... Oh, you're right, it was Albertsons. The other one's gone. Is that true? Is there any problem? Do you die or anything? See, perception is capable of focusing anywhere and opening anything. Any movie can play. If there is the passion, the perception will feel right, feel real. The passion changes, the perception changes. The perception changes, the passion changes. Right? Do you understand that? So what you're doing is you're looking at the fact that when this state arises, this will come into being. If I am hungry, I won't necessarily be aware of the smell of flowers. So the Buddha is watching, when this is present, this becomes. When this is present, this becomes. Seeing that nothing arises without cause. And Avalokiteshvara, which is called clarity, being able to see all the dancing energies of existence. And Avalokiteshvara is looking at the fact that there isn't any really fixed identity in any of it. It is all just empty of a fixed meaning. So that means there isn't a fixed self either. So now the self is no longer caught in the limitations of what I have to do or I have to be or my history. This is called freedom. But it's not freedom if you deny the cause and effect. It's called stupidity then. Because cause and effect is still dancing. So somehow or other, you have to get to the point where the clarity and the emptiness are together, and then pass beyond that to what is called non-dual wisdom. That's what this teaching is about. That's why you teach yourself first to be able to perceive perception, because when you can perceive perception, you don't find yourself trapped. Straightforward, isn't it? You don't go to the closet and pick out the same sackcloth every day, or ermine robes, or whatever it is. Does that sound interesting at all? I find it very exciting myself. So the actual practice will feel boring to you in a certain way because you don't get to entertain yourself with your favorite stories. Jeez. By the same token, you have been entertaining yourself with those stories for quite a while. And it might be nice just to try something different because it's a short time. I mean, you can drop this. I mean, some of you, just like a couple of days, and I'm not going to be in your room. I don't know whether you can pretend you're doing it but not really do it anyway. But it's worth a try, isn't it? So your mind will wander. You won't do it perfectly. But when you don't do it perfectly, be interested. Oh, what was that perception? And then come back and just see. Don't believe it. You see what I'm saying? You don't believe it. You know it's a perception based on... Isn't that a good mirror? Isn't that brilliant? So there they are, there they are. There's Avalokiteshvara. And then through the power of Buddha, that is, through the power of being in that one method, the Venerable Sariputra. Now we're down to our level, although Sariputra was very clever. Had a really good eye. Very fast brain. Said to the superior Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva, the great being, how should, it actually should say child there, but this is one of the old ones. How should a son of the lineage train who wishes to engage in the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom? How do you train yourself to become aware of wisdom, the perfect wisdom? Sariputra, whatever son or daughter of the lineage wishes to engage in the practice of the profound perfection of wisdom should look perfectly like this. And so then he shows him. That's what's happening there. That's that semicolon. Avalokiteshvara goes. And then he says, and then subsequently, he says, looking perfectly and correctly at the emptiness of inherent existence of the five aggregates also. So first note the emptiness of perception. And then note, in fact, all phenomena is empty of an inherent existence. And then you would spend some time with that. It says form is empty. So you would go around and you would explore. Is form, is a cup a function, or is that actual a thingness? Is this something that I call a cup and think of as an object because of what I use it for? Or is this come into existence in the universe exactly as a cup and will exist even after the universe is gone as a cup because it has an inherent identity of cupness? Do you see that? You actually start, take each one of these phrases and you examine them. And you say, and yet that non-identity is not separate from form either. Because all things are potentially there from no particular identity. The intention creates form. Emptiness is not separate from form, and form is not separate from emptiness. Are you getting this? It's very beautiful. So that's the other thing I would like you to do. I'd like you to chant this. I would like you to go through this, just read it fairly quickly. And then you see when you turn it over at the end of it. When the Blessed One had said this and so forth, the last paragraph. And then the noble heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra is complete. Now it says, isn't this lovely? To those from the pure and supreme places who enjoy space. This is talking about all the dakinis, all the energies, earth, water, fire, air, space, you can think of them. The dakinis from which everything is woven and into which everything dissolves. The endlessly dancing energy that we use to form something here and then it dissolves there, that consciousness directs, right? To those from the pure and supreme places who enjoy space, who possess the five powers or the five clairvoyances and can magically emanate. Care for us practitioners like a mother for her child. I prostrate to the assembly of dakinis of the three places. And then this mantra, you say 21 of them or a rosary of them. Do you have a rosary, everybody? You don't? You can do this. Right? 21. Akasha Maraja Sada Rasa Maraya Pe. akasa maradza sadarasa marayape. 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 Akasa maradza sadarasa. Akasa maradza sadarasa marayape. Akasa maradza sadarasa marayape. Akasa maradza sadarasa. Akasa maradza sadarasa marayape. Akasa maradza sadarasa marayape. Akasa maradza marayape. Akasa maradza sadarasa marayape. Akasa maradza sadarasa marayape. It's a beautiful mantra, isn't it? This mantra balances the energy of the elements in your body, helps with emotional and physical balance. It's a very nice mantra to say. And so this is for clarity. And now this one is for wisdom. Tayata gate gate paragate parasam gate bodhisattva. Tariyata gate gate paragate parasamgate bodhisoha. 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 Tayata gate gate paragate parasamgate bodhisoha. And that's for wisdom, for realizing the void nature, the thingness of existence. God is a verb. Yeah, 21 or a rosary. A rosary is 108. And then you say, isn't this nice? Read this with me. By the truth of the existence of the three jewels, may all inner and outer hindrances and adversities be overcome. May they become non-existent. May they be pacified. May all negative forces opposed to the Dharma be completely pacified. May the 80,000 obstacles be pacified. May we be separated from all adverse conditions, and may we obtain conducive circumstances and everything good. May there be auspiciousness, happiness, and well-being here, right now. Is that reasonable? I thought this would be a good thing to do. What do you think?
Yes, I just wanted to ask.
We're going to do it in groups. We're going to do it in the morning together. We're going to do one 10-minute sit and one chanting of this before breakfast. Breakfast is at what time? 7:30? 7:45? So we'll meet at 7 on the nose. Come early. Right? We start at 7. We're here, all of us together. Bring your little who's it what to me and something to lean it against, and don't put anything on the floor. You need a cushion or, you know, take something to put this on. Satya has a skateboard, so she's ahead of the game, but the rest of us will steal it from her. Okay? So tomorrow morning we'll do the first sit with your this and this. Tonight what I would like you to do, I think it would be useful, especially for the people who are only for the weekend, to be pretty silent. It's a short time. It will be hard, but it would be really worth it. If you have any questions, anything you need, you all now know where my room is. Either come and ask me or stick a note under my door.
Are we going to be able to get in without a key, like into the building?
You don't have a key? She has the keys. Oh, everybody didn't get a key this time?
To your building.
To your building.
Oh, to my building. Oh, great.
These keys are bigger.
Do you want to sit here in the morning or do you want to sit over at my place? We could sit at my place.
It
would be quieter, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'll make sure there's room in the living room and the kitchen. Okay, we'll sit over there at 7. Is that good? That's close to the dining room, anyway. So in the
A lot of people have been asking about interviews, and I just kept saying that.
I'll get there. So in the meanwhile, who wants an interview? 2, 3. Oh goodness. Oh, okay. In the meanwhile, start work right away, Cecily. Would be okay tomorrow for interviews? Is anybody urgent?
I can just have a couple minutes.
Okay, you tonight.
I just want 2 minutes.
Okay, no more. 2 tonight, that's it. Okay? In the meanwhile, what I'd like you all to do is I want you to go for a walk. And I want you to feel the beauty around. And take it in to your heart and think, all beings desire pleasure. And think, it is for the sake of all beings, I'm doing this retreat and I wish all beings to experience this beauty. Is that good?
Yes.
And you just keep saying that. And you walk, I would like you to walk for at least 50 minutes. Okay? So you can, 50, 5-0. So it's perfect time right now, isn't it? You can walk fast or slow. You can stay on the grounds or not. Don't get lost. And then and the ones who want to see me, do you want to come now? Okay. And tomorrow after breakfast, I want to do my own practice in the morning. So I am willing to meet with you. Say if I keep my practice down to 2.5 hours, breakfast is at 7:45, 8. So I'm willing to meet everybody here at 11, which is enough time before lunch. Is what time?
11:45.
Oh. Oh. I better write these things down. 7:45 breakfast. 11:45 lunch. Gosh. And dinner?
6:45.
6?
45.
45. 5:45. Okay. So it's sort of like 8, noon, and 6 is what we're talking. Only 15 minutes before that. Okay, so if we meet here, we have a class at 10:30. Is that good? Tomorrow morning?
Here.
My place, would you prefer? Yeah, my place, fine.
Coming and going.
Yeah, my place tomorrow. Okay, class at 10:30. So, okay, it's morning meditation at 7 at my place, class at 10:30. Okay. And at that time, at the class, I'll have a piece of paper with slots for people who want to see me, and the people first should be the ones who are just here for the weekend. Is that good? Does that sound like an adequate sufficiency for now? This is really neat, you know. I wish I had understood that I wasn't trying for something when I started meditating, that I was trying to see the mind, that it was like a mirror for the mind. It took me like years. It took me like 9, 10 years. I mean, it isn't that I didn't have results during that time, but I sort of discounted them because I kept looking for something else. Hi, my dear.
Hello.
Welcome. Oh, it's disgusting.
But I have a present for you.
Oh, well, it's all right then.
Here.
They're beautiful, aren't they?
Thank you.
Oh, my. Just gorgeous. Beautiful. That should pretty well wrap it up then. Everybody going to go for their walk? And Chuck, if you want to just do the walk first, the walk, and then after your walk, you ask somebody to take you over to where I am, where my room is. I'm in a different place this year. And then I'll go through the meditation with you, and you catch you up with that. Is that good?
Sure.
So the walk is to go around and be aware of beauty, and take it into your heart, and keep thinking to yourself, all beings desire pleasure. All beings desire pleasure. You should write that down, because you'd be surprised how quickly it will change. I had one friend who he was doing that, and he knew he'd know it. He was no problem. He refused to write it down. He was an accountant, eh? And he came back and he said, "Why am I doing the mantra, all beings deserve pain?" So I know you'll remember it, but just to keep me satisfied, please write it down. All beings desire pleasure. Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
You got a pen?
Okay.
And then you think, and you imagine just being able to see the beauty, feel it, and you think you're taking it into your heart, and then you think, for the sake of all beings, I am doing this practice, and I offer this beauty that all beings may partake of it, or whatever words you want. Is that good? And just generally, at the moment, not specific prayers, just generally send it out as kindness. Pretty straightforward? Okay. So, gold light in the heart spreads out through the universe. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is less of it. Thank you. Thank you for your great compassion. Thank you. So, who am I seeing? I'm seeing Lisa and Leanne. Good.